Okay, we will convene the December 10, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. I'll now call the meeting to order. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of November 12, 2013, have approved them and executed them. Are there any announcements to be made before I proceed?
No, Mr. Patelja, I think we're ready to go.
All those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Mm-hmm. Is all of this just one signature?
Yes. Thank you.
All right, we will proceed directly to case number one on our agenda, 805 Cathy Street, Lavender Miley, or Millie.
Good morning. Can you
state your name, please? Lavender
Miley. Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Miley, an order imposing a fine of $250 per day was entered on June 5, 2013. You didn't come into compliance until November 18, 2013.
It had been under compliance.
Hang on a second. Leaving a total amount of lien of $4,173.88. It was a $25 per day fine. I assume it was due to outside storage. Okay, notified in February. Hearing in April. Recovery is served. First of the property. Affidavit of non-compliance as of June. Order imposing fine June 17. $25 a day. That was pretty low. Means you must have done something dumb. Affidavit of compliance in November. When you do request. Okay, so this is your opportunity to ask me why I should give you any relief from this fine. So why should I give you any relief from this?
Because I was not under the impression I did it when it was supposed to have been done, but I didn't know that I had to come back to court. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm trying to do the best I can. Okay, but I did. It was just an air conditioner in the window.
Well, when I say dumb, what I mean by it was a minor thing that should have been easily taken care of.
It was easily taken care of.
For some reason, it was allowed to linger until it just got out of hand. It turned out to be a ridiculous fine for something that I'm sure wasn't worth it.
I just wasn't under the impression that I thought that they would come back out and look at it and see it was done. I didn't know I had to go through all this.
All right, and when are you going to tell me you had all this done?
Like a month after I went to court.
A month after you went to court. Okay. I don't know exactly what that means, but let me ask the city what their take on all this is.
Mr. Calgary, just for the record, Anthony Jackson, Assistant City Attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. I discussed this with staff, and there were certain things they remember a little different about this case than what Mr. Miley's indicating. One is that he did not see the window as something of great importance and the need to fix the window as anything of importance. And
just the wooden?
Yes, this was the wooden window.
It was just put in the window?
Yeah. Right. So there was this aspect of an attitude, and ultimately was not till after the city was contacted by a relative who holds the mortgage, I think his brother or something, that this actually was fixed. We don't even know if he's the one that fixed it or...
My brother's all the way in Defunax Springs, Florida. So.
Right. Okay, but... So our position is that you're right. It was a dumb little thing that we had a respondent who didn't see it all that important, even though the complainants did. I believe this was complaint driven. Uh-huh. Yes, it was. And so here we are now, where it accrued to over $4,000. The first press of my press of the staff was $4,000. I've been told that they're willing to go with $500, which would be just a give me to Mr. Molly, but that's what I've been asked to recommend, and that's what I'm making the recommendation.
Okay, Mr. Molly, the city has suggested they'd be willing to compromise this matter by accepting the sum of $500 in lieu of $4,173.88. What say you to that?
I could go with that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, then. I will go ahead and reduce the amount of the lien to the sum of $500, subject to it being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, that lien amount remains in full force and effect. So it only goes down to $500 if it's paid. It's not just going to go down to $500 just like that. And if you have some transaction in the process that's going to enable you to come up with that money and you need additional time, speak to the city. They're usually pretty cordial when it comes to working with people with regard to those matters. So in any event, I'm going to go ahead and order that the total amount of the lien be reduced to the sum of $500, subject to being paid within 30 days. Failing that, the full amount of the lien will remain in full force and effect. Okay?
All right.
Good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Case number two, Mark Petrain. Or case number five. Case number two, Mark Petrain.
Mark Petrain.
Raise your right hand. Sure. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. This is a continuation of the case. As I recall, we have a piece of property, several structures on it. Mm. One you started working on, then you had to stop. It goes on for a while. But in any event, you are here for a progress report. So what is the progress you're going to report?
Got the permit yesterday to demolish the back building. And I'm not even going to do it myself. I'm talking to contractors because it's. I got to get this done.
Okay. The last time we were here, permits indicate Mr. Train stated the front property has been corrected, and he obtained the permit. He was now waiting on the permit to demolish the rear building, so I guess we now have that in hand.
Yes.
Mr. Garcia stated he needed a final inspection for the front building windows. And Mr. Vitelja ordered the case continued to December 10th for a progress report. So we now have a demolition permit.
Right.
I tell you, we still need to inspect the front building?
Well, the inspectors for permits and licensing downstairs needs to do a final inspection on that, and that would be done. Then he just received yesterday the demo permit, so it falls in this court where he's just got to get it demoed, and that'd be it.
So how much time to get the back building demoed, the front building inspected, and a notice of compliance for the
file? I'd say by the next cutoff.
Mr. Petrain, the city is suggesting you ought to be able to have all this done by January 7th of 2014. What say you to that?
I don't see a problem.
You don't see a problem. Have you spoken to anyone about demolishing the building yet?
I spoke to contractors. I just didn't get any contracts or check them out.
If you've actually gone out there and started talking to people, so you can speak intelligently about a projected date.
Well, what I'm going to do is check them out now. After the first guy,
All right, good enough. Well, in any event, it sounds like you've already got it in the works. So I'll go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 7th of 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you. If you get trouble and you get jammed up, please contact your inspector to keep them informed as to what's going on. He'll be your best friend if you end up running late. Right,
thank you.
Good luck to you. Next case, Theodora E. Keeling. Here to respond. All right, let's say the city.
Mr. McKelvey, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. We've heard from the respondent. They've had a death in the family, and they've discussed that with the inspector, and he's willing to amend to the next cutoff to have this remedy.
All right. Well, then, based on the stipulation of the city, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 7, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number three, John Willard Stephen. Not seeing a respondent, let's hit the city.
Mr. Kelty, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. You may recall, I don't see it, but this is one where they had a driveway extension and needed, or widening and needed a permit for that new driveway. They sought administrative approval for they sought an administrative approval for the driveway, and it was not approved, and so it needed to be removed. They have not removed it, and I'll ask Mr. Stinson, the inspector, to give you further information regarding that.
Let's say Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector. My credentials are on file with the city. This came to the city as a sweep that we did in the area. The gentleman extended his driveway. Permits and licensing denied his permit because of setbacks for whatever reason down there. They denied his permit. He applied for variances, or he stated he was going to apply for variances. His contractor kind of left him hanging in the wind as well. He still has not got the variance, and the city has not changed its position about not granting him that permit, and there's been no change in the property. That picture's from yesterday morning. Oh, I'm sorry. And the city is asking for $75 per day to be maxed at
$10,000. How does this gentleman, given the fact that the work's done, how does he come into compliance, if at all?
If he did actually obtain the permit, he could be in compliance, or if he returned it to its original state.
Is obtaining a permit a possibility, or is this something that just isn't going to happen?
Well, he applied for his permit on 7/2/2013. The zoning officer of the city said that it needed corrections, that the footprint of his driveway overstepped its boundaries, meaning that the driveway was too big to meet the setbacks. Outside of that, that's all the information that I've gotten from the zoning official, but that is the reason why she denied the permit.
Mr. Vakelja, it would take him obtaining a variance, and that would require him showing hardships and all of the variance requirements under law, and would have to, of course, start with an application for variance, and apparently hasn't done that. He hasn't elected to apply for the variance, and that may be there's a cost for that, and he may realize he doesn't meet the requirements to obtain such a variance. But if a variance is not obtained, returning it to its original state would mean removing that addition that he added to the driveway.
I assume the white part I'm looking at is the addition?
Yes, sir. The white part on the...
Okay, is this a corner lot?
Yes, it's a corner lot. So he did the entire north end and the west end, the little...
So the setback he's encroaching on is what? Somehow encroaching into that corner?
Yes, it has to be a certain distance away from that actual corner.
Stop sign?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay. And I'm sorry, what was the city was looking for a fine in the amount of $75 per day up to $10,000?
Yes, sir.
And I assume coming into compliance means, at this point, he pretty much has to rip up that drive.
Unless he can get the permit, but yes.
Right, well, I'm not going to mess around with permits anymore. But it is a pretty harsh compliance, so be it. So I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 7, 2014 to come into compliance. Failing that, they find an amount of $75 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is either in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000. So if you happen to speak to Mr. Stephen, tell him the special magistrate was in a giving Christmas mood. He's got about another 30 days to get rid of the driveway. I know it's a hardship, but if he's already tried to get a permit and he can't, apparently that's all that's left. So it's either that or pay the fine.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Case number four, MNMS Holdings, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
He sent an email to me late last night.
Just a moment.
Mr. Stinson, one more question about that last case. Is he not going to have to get a permit to tear up that driveway?
I guess he should, but this case did come for him doing this driveway without permits. This is how this all began.
Mr. Kelly.
Yes, sir.
This was here for a progress report, and I'll turn to Mr. Garcia, who is the inspector, to address that. In general, the status is that, I don't know. I'll ask Mr. Garcia to go ahead and discuss it with you.
Well, basically, he's got to decide whether he wants to get a demo permit and demolish the property or pull permits and repair it. It has interior fire damage, which I have not seen. He is on the trespass arrest site program. We got that established. He is maintaining the grass, the overgrown maintenance on the landscaping. And basically, it's a progress report. He's supposed to be here to let me know where he was, which way he was going. We received an email, and I figured by next cutoff, he
is this property where we cut in some kind of slack on some sort of an outdoor patio? Or
yeah, there was a back deck that was started and wasn't finished. It was actually a police issue. Vagrants, transients, it's now secured.
And I don't know, has Mr. Kelter seen a copy of this?
No.
Okay.
Well, forgive me, I guess I wasn't paying attention. What's the progress that's taking place?
At this time, there is no progress except for that he's on a trespass arrest site program. He's maintaining the landscaping, and that's it at this time. I'm waiting to find out which way he's going to go, whether he's going to have it demolished. He's trying to get with zoning and decide whether he can pull permits and repair it. Zoning was the officer for zoning was out. She had a death in the family, so.
Okay, I'm confused. Is he talking about bringing this property up to code, or is he talking about demolishing it?
You share the confusion that we have.
Yeah. We would like to request this case be continued to the January agenda in order for us to obtain a viable proposal for demolition and applicable permits. Once you demolish it, what more permits are needed?
That's it.
Or receive a response from the city on their minimum list of additional repairs to bring the property to code. Didn't you tell me this was a fire damage structure?
Interior.
Okay. Okay. How long would it take MNMS Holdings to obtain a demolition permit?
They can, same thing, next month, 30 days.
Hand, how long would it take them to demolish?
Then another,
structure?
Be another cutoff. Depending on if you got someone in contractor to do that right away.
By January 7th.
Right.
The second part was for our progress report today, which I've heard of no progress. So then I guess I just leave this order alone.
He can do it both, get the permit and demo.
Does that sound about right, Tony?
That's correct. That's what I see in the order. Just a little clarification. I was just asking the inspector. I think it was suggested that he was saying 30 days for permit and 30 days for the work, but in just discussing it with him, in the next cutoff, or by that January date, the inspector believes that he can indeed pull a permit and have it demolished. Now we understand that we do have holidays in that time period, and we know that causes a problem. But
why did we put Will Fine language in this order?
It's the original order of non-compliance. That's what we did.
All right, well, looks like he's already due to be in compliance by January 7th, so I can't move any faster than that. And I'll expect the property to be demolished by January 7th.
Okay.
Or else he'll come in here with one whale of a reconstruction plan that everyone in the city blesses. All right, so I guess we'll wait January 7th. Case number 5, Cyril Jaburek is in compliance. Case number 6, January Kearse. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. It's a vacant property. There's been issues, problems with vagrants. The inspector's request is that we give that you find it in non-compliance and give them until next cutoff to bring the property into compliance.
Okay. Do we know of any reason why the respondent's not here?
I'll ask Mr. Lopez, who is the inspector.
I have no idea why they're not here. The property was posted.
That's all I need to know. All right, not seeing a respondent based on the presentation by the city. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by January 7, 2014, and be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Next case, Janie B. Hill Adams. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelcher, this property, as well as this is a tenant occupied property, and the request of the inspectors that, again, this is before the board before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The request of the inspectors that you find the property in non-compliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance. This is a somewhat of a landlord-tenant dispute, and a mix of this where the tenant has kind of brought much of the complaint against the property.
Okay. but I assume our inspector went out there satisfied for himself that there are deficiencies that need to be corrected.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right. Noting that the respondent is not present, based on the presentation of the city and the report of our attorney, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to be in compliance by January, I assume you meant next cutoff?
Yes, yes, sir.
January 7, 2014. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Is there also a rental license issue?
Yes.
Told her to apply for one. She hasn't applied for a rental license yet. And also note that if need be, impose the fine for failure to obtain the administrative fee. Case number 8, Kathy E. Smith. Anyone here for the city? For the record? Anyone here for the respondent?
No, I would say the city. Mr. Kelgi, this is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. This arose from neighbor complaints, and this is outside storage, junk vehicles, accessory structure, fencing. The staff is asking for you to find the respondent in noncompliance and give them until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Based on the presentation to the city, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to be in compliance by January 7, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 9, Petra and North Incorporated.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning. Will you please state your name and respond?
Bassam Al-Khatib.
B-A-S-S-A-M.
Mm-hmm. Last name Al-Khatib, A-L-K-H-A-T-E-E-B.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And, sir, your affiliation with Petra North Incorporated?
I'm a registered agent for them.
You're a registered agent for them?
Yes, and I own it also.
Pardon?
Also, it's my corporation.
All right. So you have authority to speak for the corporation?
Yes, sir.
Agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Let's ask the city how much time it should take to come into compliance. Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, the inspectors informed me that this was a tenant-occupied property. I believe that they resolved, evicted the tenants. But up to this point, there had not been much progress, but we believe that they are in a position to be able to bring the property into compliance by next cutoff.
If I may say something, sir.
Mr. Al-Khatib, I was just about to tell you that the city seems to think you ought to be able to come into compliance by January 7, 2014. What say you to that?
I think they mentioned it as a dispute between me and the tenant. Personal issues. All I did is I cleaned up, and I'm ready to do it. I ask for more time. I am a self-employed, and I'm going through hardship right now. All I'm asking is for more time.
How much time are you requesting?
If you would give me 90 days, I will bring everything up to date. There is, I talked to a contractor, and he already applied for a permit. I just want to have the time for me to get the money.
Hold on a second. With regard to the 90 days, what is it that's going to be getting done over the course of those 90 days?
I want to try my best to do everything, have it up to code, ready for occupancy.
In any event, I take it you're telling me you... There's enough work here that needs to be done where you have to hire a contractor for starters.
Yes, I can't do something. Something needs to be with a contractor. I was advised by the inspector, and I did it, and I spoke to a contractor, and I believe there is an application in the city now. It's not there yet, but the application was filled.
This is property presently unoccupied?
Unoccupied, yes.
You'll leave it unoccupied for the 90 days?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Let's say the city.
I'll ask that Mr. Stetson, the inspector, address you regarding this, Mr. Kelger. I could just can tell you in general, the general thought is would be generous to give 60, and that's the thought of the city to give the 60 days. But I'll ask.
He tells me he's going to enhance another property in the city of Daytona Beach and make the whole city prettier, then I'm happy to accommodate him just as long as I don't think he's lying to me.
I'm not
exaggerating just to get additional time, because if I find out later that he's done that, then the fine's just come flying out of the door. But in any event, my point is if he's going to take 90 days and he's going to make it a prettier place and it's going to be up to code and he's going to leave it unoccupied until such time as it's in compliance and the city signed off on, I might be inclined to think about it. So let's say the city.
Okay, if I could just say this, Mr. Kelger, in the discussion with the inspector, the concern he has, and we understand that we're landlord-tenant problems, but there was just very little done during the time that the inspector worked with him up through since August of this year, and so he's not as optimistic about the without seeing it, this going with
and
a hard
push. The city is telling me Santa should be delivering a lump of coal to you because you haven't been very cooperative today. I'm going to assume you're going to tell me this is all ancient history. We're going to get this taken care of, and our inspector's going to be a happy man when you're done. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Today is December 10th. I think it's a new day.
I'm going to respond to being compliant by March 5, 2014. Failing that, he returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
And
I would receive notes, any?
Yes, you will. And you need to stay in touch with your inspector because he is the one who's going to have to sign off on that. And he's the man you're going to have to satisfy as far as only taking care of the work, but the quality of the work is what we're most interested in. And in case I didn't mention it, the property is not to be rented, utilized or occupied until such time as it's brought into compliance. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Did you receive the notices in the mail so we have the right address for you?
Yes, I did, but it was late, though.
Case number 10, James Cortazar. Anyone here for the response?
Yes.
Good morning.
Say your name, please.
Rosie Williams. I'm James Cortazar's cousin.
James Cortazar's cousin. Your name again?
Rosie Williams.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. William, you have authority to speak on behalf of Mr. Cortazar this morning. Proceed.
Yes.
Tony, are you satisfied?
She indicated she was her cousin, and she's indicating after being sworn as she has the authority. I'm satisfied.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. William, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent to be non-compliance. All right. Let me ask the city, how much time is it going to take for Mr. Cortazar to bring the matter into compliance?
Ms. Vakeljewa, in discussing it with the inspector, there's been no action to date. The inspector's asking for finding a noncompliance and that they be given until next cutoff. Do want to inform the magistrate that this is another landlord-tenant situation, and the tenant is present. That's the lady standing here. And I'm not. Did you want to address?
Is the tenant still occupying the property?
Yes, sir. Well, she needs to be sworn. She's here.
Ms. William, if I can you take a step that way?
Can you state your name, please?
Danielle D'Ambrosio.
Yes, can you spell your last name?
D apostrophe, A as in apple, M as in Mary, B as in boy, R-O-S-I-O.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Ms. D'Ambrosio, you are a tenant at 1041 Berkshire?
Yes, sir. Me, my two children, my mom, the father of my children, and his sister.
Okay. And I presume you're paying rent?
We are currently putting our rent into an escrow account. The landlord has filed for eviction, although they haven't done anything to repair the house yet. We're withholding rent because of that, but we are putting it in an escrow account. So we are paying it.
So the landlord has already started an eviction proceeding?
Yes, they filed for eviction. They threatened eviction. I sent them a letter of noncompliance. The official form 3, I believe it was, from the statute, stating that they weren't in compliance and that we were going to withhold rent, and that since we sent that form, they were not allowed to threaten eviction nor file for eviction. They did both threaten eviction and file for eviction. We're currently working on that with Amber.
That's our counsel, who happens to be present as well.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I say her legal counsel is present as well.
Yes, because they're trying to evict us, and we're living in a house that's falling apart, and there's sewage coming up under our room, and we've had to move our baby out of the room because the smell's so bad sometimes. And
all right, now, I'm more interested in how we affect all these repairs and modifications while we have a tenant on the property and parties in litigation. So that's really more of my interest.
She's had a lot of contractors come and look. She's having contractors all the time come and look, and so she's trying to, you know, have it done. The contractors have emailed me and told me that, you know, they don't feel like they're getting all the information and that they're worried that once they peel off the outer layer, there's going to be so much work. So the contract of the house, there's so much bandages and you know, attempts to fix that weren't permitted or authorized or done by anybody with any form of licensing. All the contracts that have come by, I have their cards and their information. They told me they will not do the work. Because it's too much, and it's not. None of the violations were given to them.
Is this something that's going to be able to be done while you're still occupying the
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm not here to evict you.
I'm not sure. I'm willing to like, if they want to give us, you know, our security deposit and, you know, help and work with us, then, you know, we can move out. Months and months and months ago, before I even, you know, had any contact with the city, I had asked them if they could lower our rent by $200 because there were so many leaks in the plumbing and the AC, and the windows were, you know, there was a car that hit the house and the window was broke. So our electricity bill went up to $500. Our water bill went over $300. And I asked them if they would just lower it by a couple hundred and then we could start working on everything, and I didn't get any response. So I've been working on this since literally we moved into the house. Literally. We were told the house was being rented as is. That's the way it was.
Mr. McKelder, just for more layers of the onion on this, we didn't realize we had this much going on right now with this case, but the contractor is here as well, and if that would help you in knowing what to work with the contractor of the landlord.
Okay, where is he?
This gentleman, so if you can come up.
Sir, can you please state your name?
Darrell Lucas. Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Have you had a chance to inspect the house?
Yes, I have.
Do you know what all work needs to be done?
No, I don't. Because according to the paperwork they had, they just said electrical, but it was not specific. They said plumbing, but not specific. So I'm kind of confused to exactly what they are requiring. Because if
you
look at...
What are you talking about when you say they? You're talking about
The city.
So you're wondering what the violations are.
I need a more specific identification of the violations.
I have more specifics.
All right, well, let me try it this way since I'm not making much progress. Let me just go back over here. Based upon your eyeballing this property and the things that need to be done, how long do you estimate it's going to take to bring the property into compliance?
Realistically, this property can be brought in compliance by the February cutoff.
By the February cutoff. So you're thinking within 60 days or thereabouts, all these things could be taken care of, assuming you had a property owner who went about doing it in earnest.
Correct.
What say you to that?
I think that is possible. If we get cooperation from the tenants and everyone else, that it may be possible. But I have a question. She's stating that the sewage and everything is backed up and they're having all these problems and that it's not safe. When does it come to the point where they say that it's unlivable? Because she's still living there.
Well, you know, some people don't have a whole lot of choice when it comes to some matters, so
you.
It's not for me to...
I just asked a question.
You know, there's other forums that will deal with other layers of this onion, as Mr. Jackson alluded to for just a moment, so... I'm just going to try to survive my time here in the universe.
That sounds fine.
60 days to come into compliance. Are you telling me it can be done, or are you saying you don't know yet?
As I said, I would have to see the paperwork that she has, because the paperwork that I was provided, it just said that a wiring and plumbing need, and I contact some of the electrician, but they needed more information. So when they just simply said wiring and plumbing need to be addressed.
Let's say Ms. Williams.
I think we can do it in 60 days. So if I could have that time, I would really appreciate it.
All right, Ms. Tennant over there, Ms. Ambrosio.
Yes, sir.
How long do you think it should take to bring all these things into compliance? Got any idea?
I don't think it's possible in 60 days.
I don't think it is either.
I don't think it's possible, but...
You're living in there.
Yes, sir, I am living in there and living in it every day.
Let me talk for a minute here. And we're talking about working around an occupied building and a tenant, which is going to make things even more difficult.
Right.
So how long do you think it should take to bring it into compliance?
I don't have any idea. I was told about 48 days ago by him that he was going to be there every day for the next 30 days working on the house, and I never saw him once. So I just don't know. I never saw him once, not once. And we did a walkthrough with the city and him twice, and I really think he knew about all this stuff. I said it all, and you know, we said everything, but. If they start working on it every day and actually work on it, then I do think it can be done. And I've said she can come over and...
Yeah, I've heard enough. Okay, I'm going to put this matter down on our January 14, 2014 agenda for a progress report. Okay. And at that progress report, I'm either going to give you another 30 days to get it done... If I'm totally dissatisfied, you haven't gotten enough done. Or I'm going to give you another 60 days to get it done. If I'm satisfied that you're making a good faith effort, you're working, the tenants, everyone's getting along, and we're working toward getting it all done right. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to continue this matter to the January 14, 2014 meeting, and at that point in time, I'm going to have another progress report. And I'm going to just literally handhold this thing until it's done. And if at the January 14th meeting, what I hear is, we haven't seen the contractor since we were at this meeting, then you're going to be done in a hurry.
Okay.
If on the other hand, it's like, no, we haven't gotten as far as we wanted, but that's because the city wants this, okay, then I'll hear it.
Okay. Wonderful.
If it's, well, we're not as far done because, unfortunately, the tenant, we have to try to work around the tenant, that, whatever it may be, I'll deal with it then. But... As it stands right now, I'm going to look at this being done within 60 days. I may consider an additional 30 if there's a good faith effort and there's a plausible explanation as to why more time may be required. Okay?
Thank you.
That's fine.
All right. If y'all are going to work together to get this done, I know it's going to be difficult, but it just has to get done.
Yes,
we'll try.
So thank you.
January 14, 2014, I'm expecting a progress report. If nobody shows up, I'm probably going to do whatever the city tells me to do. Good luck.
I have another question. As far as the money that they deposit in the escrow, can we have that information? Can they provide us the information where the money is?
There's no money in the escrow.
Okay. Okay. That's another arena. You'll have to ask somebody else those questions. Good luck to you. Case number 11, Lowland LLC. Ms. William.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You're the person I'm going to be looking to see to it that this gets done.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Sir, this is part of the problem. Like we had somebody ask for, she said, oh, we'll never get it. This is why we have a problem with getting completed. As far as like, how many appointments you said it. Because part of the problem I asked is that when we go to the house, she's saying that, well, you can't be here at a certain time.
Okay. You and I need to have a conversation.
Part of the problem that we have with getting the job completed, like she was saying, that when you go there, she has her aunt, cousin there, they won't let you in to come in to see what the problem is, or that they say that you can only come between 9 and 5 Monday through Friday, you can't work on Saturday or Sunday. So it's a couple of a little additional things that has slowed down this progress. And that's, like I said, that's why I'm asking these things, because if we are going to, I don't have a problem with working with her getting the thing done, because I get paid for getting the job done. So my intent is to get the job done. But I don't want you to be misled like that we have had complete cooperation from the tenant, because we haven't.
Okay, first off, I don't care about ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
Wars.
Okay.
Secondly, I just want the job done. Thirdly, this is an occupied property. It's going to be a tough job. If you're not up to it, get off the job. Hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's going to be a tough job. You're going to have to take care of whatever repairs have to be made. You're going to have to work around a family living in there. Now, if I think the tenant is sandbagging all of us and causing problems, then I'll cut you whatever slack you deserve.
That's why I'm addressing it.
In the meantime, I expect everybody to just give a little bit and get this job done. Does that family expect you to work during typical working hours? Yeah, I would think so. I don't see anything wrong with that. Do they expect maybe to have their weekends without people, you know, tearing their house apart? I can understand that, too. So my point is, you and the property owner are just going to have to make certain accommodations because you have a family living in there that you have to work around. That's y'all's responsibility right there. Okay? So figure out how to get it done.
Okay, and if that doesn't happen, what is our next step? If we don't have cooperation.
I'll be back here on January 14th. And if that doesn't happen, you'll be here to explain why.
Okay.
Okay, and if I'm satisfied with your explanation, so be it. If I'm not satisfied with your explanation, then Ms. Williams is going to have to figure out what she needs to do because this property is going to be brought into compliance.
And that's fine.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, case number 11, Lowland LLC.
Hello, could you state your name, please?
Mark Oslizlo, O-S-L-I-Z-L-O.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Oslizlo, what is your affiliation with Lowland LLC?
The managing member.
Okay, very good. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. Let me ask the city how much time they think it should take to come into compliance.
Mr. Kelger, again, this is another tenant complaint situation. As of this point, there has not been any progress. That's being reported by the inspector. The city is asking that they be given until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Accessory structure, fencing.
That's not the house.
Okay. Good thing. It's horrible.
But that one combined. No, you got the wrong property up. This is 928 Berkshire.
This must have been a bad month to hang out in Berkshire.
Yes, it was. There we go.
Okay. All right. Accessory structure, fences, broken inoperable windows, dilapidated shed, interior surfaces, the garage, plumbing, receptacles, electric system. Interior surfaces, electrical fixtures, infestation, no rental license. City is saying you ought to be able to have all these things resolved by January 7, 2014. What say you?
I believe they're remedied now.
Okay. So then I take it if I gave you until January 7, 2014, no excuse whatsoever for them not being done by then, correct?
Mr. Stinson was there yesterday.
Okay, so you're telling me it's done now?
I believe it's all done now.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm still going to give you.
Thank you.
27 days, if need be. I'm trying to get back to being a good cheer here. All right. I'm going to allow the order the respondent to come into compliance by January 7, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Call for your inspection. If you're done, you're done.
Is there a rental issue with this?
Oh, yes. In fact, the... I wasn't going to go into that detail, but yeah, it has about a dozen properties with rental license issues.
It's
specifically two dozen. I'm sorry.
I was just talking about the
but as of this property, yes, this is one as well where a rental license is needed.
Compliance and pay for the rental license or receive the administrative fine for failure to obtain that.
The property's not rented. Mr. Stenson can attest to that. He told me he knows that yesterday.
That's fine. All right. Call Mr. Stenson out for your final inspection. All right. If there's anything left to be done, he'll let you know. If everything's in compliance, he'll put notice of compliance in the file. That'll be the end of it. You got till January 7th, just in case there are any hiccups along the way. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Henry Mitchell. Anyone here for the respondent?
Thank you.
and say the city.
This property is another landlord-tenant situation, and it's before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. This is a property where it's been an occupied structure with no water services, along with all the other problems that are listed, and the inspector's asking that you that the respond to be in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay, we have any
communication
with the respondent?
No, sir.
All right. Based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be non-compliance. I order the respondent to come into compliance by January 7, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 13, John Nicholson. Anyone here for the respondent? Now, what say the city?
This is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. I will ask the, I think she's stepping away for a moment. I'll ask the inspector to address you concerning this. This was a no water service supplied to the tenants, and I know that it was close to determining what the status was the last time that I spoke with the inspector. Ms. Lank, the inspector is Vicki Lankford. If you could address the magistrate.
It was a tenant complaint that we came out. The landlord cut off the water. We inspected the property and for the water service only in this case. And there was no water. Prior to our getting there, the water had been turned back on. When we left, the water was turned back off again and has not to date been turned back on. Now, whether the tenant is in there or not, I'm not sure. I've made a phone call and wasn't able to get through to the tenant. As far as I know, the tenant is still there. As far as I know, the water is still off. So we're in non-compliance. And looking for compliance by the next cutoff, we're fine.
Compliance will be what?
Turning the water back on. Or if the tenant is out, then it would be in compliance also. Because you don't have to supply water service if there's no tenant there.
We don't know if the tenant's there or not.
Correct. I've been unable to get a hold of the tenant.
Am I missing something? What's going on? I want a tenant squabble.
Yes.
Just turning on the water, turning off the water.
I believe the landlord.
That's the case. We're going to get until January 7th to turn it back on?
No, because I only gave him, maybe I misspoke. I only gave him 24 hours initially to have the water turned back on, and he did not.
But we don't even know if there's a tenant there.
At this particular moment, no, I'm not sure.
And you've had actual communication with the landlord?
Yes. About the water issue, he knew we were having a hearing, and I did tell him that he had to have the water turned back on for the tenant, and he said he would do it, and he did not.
Okay.
I went when the 24.
I'm a little dense here today, but the violation I'm looking at is no water service supply to tenant. And what you're telling me is you don't even know if there's a tenant.
Well,
there wasn't. Okay, let me.
It sounds like landlord tenant games going on in the background.
Let me clarify a little bit. He originally got the notice, he had 24 hours to put the water service back on. I went after the 24 hours. Mr. Nicholson was there. He said he would have the water turned back on. The tenant was still there at the time. He did not turn the water back on. The tenant was still there at that time. Now, here we are down the road at the hearing. I tried to get a hold last week. I just came back to work this week. Wasn't able to get a hold of the tenant. I don't know if he's still there or not. I do know that it was in non-compliance. After we requested the 24 hours to be in compliance, he said he would put it in, and he did not.
At the time when they were cited, they were in non-compliance. I think it's the report, Mr. Kelgen. So we'd ask if you make a finding of non-compliance, and then she can make a determination of whether now it is in compliance or not. In any sense, we'd be asking for a finding of non-compliance because in this situation, we would like the repeat violation to be in effect with the concern of this type of conduct.
Okay, well, I'm finding the respondent being non-compliance. So that having been said, what is the relief the city is now looking for?
for him to come into compliance either by having an unoccupied structure or if he still has a tenant to have the water services to that tenant. We have not been able to verify what the status is, and that's what the inspector is expressing. If she goes out there and she's not able to determine that or she determines that there's no longer a tenant, then it's no longer an issue, so it will be in compliance. If she determines there's still a tenant and there's still no water service, then it will still be in non-compliance.
I have an order to respond to come into compliance by January 7, 2014. Failing that, be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay.
This may be what you were trying to clear up as well. So I guess part of the question will be still if we can shorten the compliance period and failing to be in compliance, so if we can have them come into compliance within the time for getting a notice to them of the order of magistrate, which if we can hand deliver that and within 3 days. So if in 3 days, 72 hours to have to be in compliance or be subject to fine at the next meeting is what we would prefer the order to be as opposed to giving them the until next cutoff.
So you're talking about now being in compliance by the 13th?
Yes.
You're going to be able to get a notice soon by then?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me withdraw the compliance date on that last order and replace it with the respondent is to come into compliance by December 13th. Failing that, be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay? Is that it?
That's it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Case number 14, Deep Lounge Incorporated and another Plan B Incorporated, DBA 509 Supper Club and Lounge. Is this the one that we got the letter from the attorney requesting a continuance?
Yes, sir. And it appears no one's here from the respondent.
All right. Anybody that wants to be heard on this matter, come forward.
Steve Barnes, resident, Seabreeze neighborhood. I live down.
Yes. That would include any officers that, whether or not you're actually testifying or not, will be directed by the magistrate on what he would desire.
I need to get everyone's name who's going to be speaking, and then I'll go ahead and
swear. Hang on a second.
Okay.
We're not doing that just yet.
Okay.
It would be familiar to you from a prior case we had regarding the. regarding a food issue and menus you may recall we recently had.
All right. For those of you who want to be heard on this matter, I've had a request from the respondent's attorney for a continuance to the next meeting because they have a conflict today. I routinely grant continuances to allow people to be heard. I know that y'all are here wanting to be heard. I will do one of two things. I will let you be heard in January, or I'll hear you right now and I'll hear what they have to say in January. I will do what I can to accommodate you, but typically it is not unusual for us to grant continuances for these things to be heard. And considering the nature of the violation, a continuance usually isn't a bad thing, because the people who want to speak against it are usually poorly prepared and don't know what it is I'm looking for or what it is I'll be taking into consideration when I pass judgment on these kinds of things. I've had these things done in the past where we have people who literally, what do? They go to Home Depot and get some sort of meter or something like that, and they come in with readings at various times, for example. So my point is, this is the type of thing that at first blush, the people who want to speak against it are usually not very well prepared, other than to just show up and tell me how unhappy they are. So, all that having been said, I'll hear you all right now, or if you want to come back on January and be heard then, I'll hear it all then. I'm going to give them one continuance. I'm not going to give them more than one continuance. That's all there is to it.
We do have one specific request. Mr. Calhoun, the preference is that we not wait until January, but instead, if we can set this sometime, maybe on a special hearing date.
You better be careful, and let me tell you why. The respondent's attorney is a state legislator. And I have found out the hard way in my own practice that he has a statutory right to a continuance of anything in which he's representing a client that takes place while he is either in session or in committee. And that is a royal headache. He tells me in his letter he will be available, and he specifically lets me know there will be no legislative commitments on January. Because if he weren't able to make that commitment, I wouldn't even consider it. In any event,
he wrote that
he'll be in legislative protection in January 2014. That's what he's referring to there. And so the reality is whether you want to hear it or not, the respondent has a right to counsel. He has a right to counsel of his choosing, and if the counsel of his choosing happens to be a legislator, as this one is, you have to work your way around the legislative session. So all that having been said, if you want me to hear from you folks today, I'll hear from you today, or you can come back in January, and I guarantee, or you can come back in January, and you might be a little better prepared for what you're going to need to present. What do you want to do?
Personally, I have a lot of information here, but I can wait. I would rather just, personally, I would just rather have them here so there's no...
Well, there won't be any ruling made today, I can guarantee you
right.
that, because they have the right to be heard.
Right. Well, if they have the right to be heard, then I guess I can wait until then, and then we'll do this the correct way. Yes.
And I'm telling you that when I've seen these things in the past, sometimes, not that I'm suggesting or even telling you how to handle your case, so to speak, but I've even had folks who have apparently gone to Home Depot and bought some sort of little decibel meter. And they were to come back and said, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, sitting, laying in my bedroom, the decibel reading such and such. And he's not to be over such and such. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you that we've gotten into these things before, and they rarely actually happen the first time they come up on the agenda. And when they do, the folks that are here to complain are usually poorly prepared other than to just complain. So in any event, but here again, you're here, and you were asked to be here, and I'll hear you. So you want to wait till January? Cool. I'll hear you January. What do you want to do?
I'll go either way.
All right. Police department have anything they want to say?
Just a moment. Police officers will wait as well.
And just to let you know, the relief you're ultimately looking for is, I suspect, what's going to be asked for is a will find, which means if you can establish that there have been violations in the past and there has been a noncompliance, of course, these things come and go, obviously, but a will find means that for every future violation, they get hauled in. All these preliminaries are behind us. And if they have, in fact, violated the will find order, then they go straight to a potential fine, as opposed to hearings as far as whether there was a violation to begin with. So January is sort of a threshold. Well, it's not a threshold. January is a hearing to determine culpability. Once culpability is established, in the future, you don't have to go through that process every time. All you have to do is establish that there was a violation. Anyway.
If I can just clarify one thing that I asked. I'm not sure you understood what I was asking. We're talking about the next meeting date for the next magistrate hearing date. Because of a way that Mr. Hood's schedule works, he put that language because in our conversation I was concerned as well regarding his legislative exception, and he assured me that he would not be utilizing that. And ultimately, I guess, cleared that absolutely there was no legislative sessions. But he does have a number of things because he's involved in so many different areas. So the thought of this is if we could set a date for a couple of reasons. One, that this is an issue that's been impacting a neighborhood for a period of time now, and some of them express medical situations as a result of the stress from it and would like it resolved. And so something short of the 30-day period.
If you want a special setting, we'll do a special setting. Right now, January 14th is the fastest, I presume, but here again, I'll do whatever you want.
And the desire would have been a shorter date, not a longer date. That's what I wanted to clarify.
If you want to, if you and the respondent can agree to an earlier date, so be it. Doesn't matter to me.
I can call the office and coordinate. Okay.
So something that, can we do this then? If you want to schedule it preliminarily for this next meeting date, and then I'll contact Mr. Hood and see if we can schedule a special
date. Let's go ahead and set it on January 14th. And if you and Mr. Hood, you being all of you collectively and Mr. Hood, can agree to another date, whether it's sooner or later, doesn't matter to me. I'll do whatever y'all want.
Okay.
I mean, are you looking for me to order something earlier? You keep hesitating. Right?
Well, knowing that I had, without Mr. Hood here, it's really hard to pinpoint that on the schedule and understand that. So I guess that's really the best we can do at this point.
Okay. He alludes in his letter, and it's just a letter, that this matter may be resolved by January. Just out of curiosity, what is resolution of this matter? I assume it would have to be keeping the sound below such and such and stipulating to a will fine.
My conversation with Mr. Hood, his business is in dispute of their status regarding the sound, and he believes that if he can sit down with everyone, then everyone would be happy. Not sure that's...
Maybe you all voted for him. Anything's possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, well, again, I'm setting it for January 14, 2014. If y'all can come up with another date you want it heard on, and I'm in town, that's fine with me.
Okay.
All right, and I've kind of gone a little above and beyond the call of duty just to kind of let y'all know what sort of a presentation you might want to consider putting on when they come back, because just a bunch of he said, she said about sound levels isn't particularly persuasive. It's just an argument. So you might want to consider some way of actually being able to demonstrate that these violations are in fact occurring. All right, I've said too much already. All right, we'll see y'all January 14th.
Thank you.
Do you have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, I cannot think of anything, Mr. Kelchin.
That's the case, and we are...